on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing more than say hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And the word that God gave us today on this Old Testament Friday is a person shall be put to death for his own sin, for his own sin. But we know that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself, that they would become his sin, and he took them to the cross for us on this Good Friday, on this day when we go to churches and synagogues, some for Passover, some for Good Friday. We think about what he did for us. We think about person that was put to death for us. That person that loved us so much that he stood, that he was crucified between two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. Whew, hallelujah. But he came down one day. One day he came down from the cross to save me. He went to the cross to save me. And when I say he came down, he died. He died. He died like a human being who suffered for me, who suffered for you. Whereas God told the children of Israel, a person shall be put to death for his own sin. And Jesus made our sin his sin. And he was put to death for me and for you. What a blessed Savior we have, who loved us so much, who cared about us so much, who died for us. But guess what, Mother Valerie? He got up. They put him in that tomb. And in 3 days, he got up with all power in his hand. And the king, the keys to the kingdom. He got up for me. He got up for you. Just like he went to the cross for us. Just like he died for us. He got up for us. For him to tell a thief hanging on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's let you know, he went to paradise first before he went to Hades, because the thief would not have been with him in paradise, because Jesus again was not a man like we know a man. So I'm excited to a word I'm preaching this morning for Good Friday, thanking God for this word, and I know God gave it to me for today. Father God in heaven, I thank you for your son. I thank you that he loved me and he loved this world and he loved us all enough to take our sinful selves, all our sins, to the cross, to take them upon himself, because your word said that only a person can only die for their sin. So he took every one of our sins into himself and made them himself and died for us, God, because he loved us just like you. But he has always been there. David called him my Lord. But we know that you are our Lord God, and he was my Lord, and he is still my Lord and Savior. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for caring about me, for wanting to be my Savior. You took our sins to the cross. You went to Calvary for us. And all I can say is I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I know that I'm blessed to be a child of God. And so, Father God, I lift up this mighty word today, asking you, Lord God, to increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease, God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. And we ask forgiveness for any sins we may have committed in thought, word, or deed against your divine majesty or against a brother or sister. Lord God, if we were looking at the speck in someone's eyes when we have our own planks to bear, we ask forgiveness. And Lord, if we were feeling some kind of way about somebody or something, we ask forgiveness. Lord God, we will not go forth without forgiveness. We repent of all sins, giving ourselves to you, oh God, to be used by you, God, for such a time as this. For as your word said, many are called, but few are chosen. Lord God, as you have chosen us, we ask you to equip us to speak what you want us to speak and do what you want us to do. In the matchless name of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray, lifting up this holy word on this holy day. Amen. Whew. Good morning, Mother Valerie. I pray you slept well, that you had a great evening, a great night, a great rest.
Good morning, Pastor. This is beautiful. All of the above is true.
Amen. Amen. And we got a beautiful day today. I froze myself because one of my children thought that he needed to turn on the air conditioner because he got hot. And my room was closest to the heat pump in the air. And I was cold all night. All that kept me warm was the word of God. And all I could say was, thank you, Lord, because I was freezing. I was all bundled up and didn't want to get up this morning, so I thank God for waking me up. He woke me up first at like 2-something this morning and then put me back to sleep, and I was sleeping real, real good, real good. But I thank God for the wake up. I thank God for being able to be here to do what he has called us to do. So, Mother Valerie, I am getting ready to turn it over to you because you're about to take it to the throne of grace with the word of God. And we are taking that word of God to the phone today. We're taking the throne to the phone through the word of God. And for those that would like to call in and listen in this morning, the number to call is 213-943-3597. Come join us. If God is giving you something in your heart state you want to share, especially my listeners, our listeners that are on social media, we ask you, come on in, 213-943-3597. Join the conversation. We want to hear from you. And again, our title today, A Person Shall Be Put to Death for His Own Sin, Deuteronomy 24 and 16. And today we are in Old Testament Friday, so we will be for the whole hour in the book of Deuteronomy, starting in chapter 19 through chapter 24. And so, and again, church announcement. We will be having, we will have a show on tomorrow, Saturday the 30th. And the reason being, Saturday the 30th is the reason being, is we will be in sunrise service at 7 o'clock on Resurrection Sunday. Again, sunrise service. So I'm going to be up with the, with before the sun, because when the sun is coming up, we'll be in service. So I will not be able, and we will, I normally am the one that blogs on Sunday, so I will not be able to do it because I have an obligation to the church and to the Resurrection Sunday program. So all I can say is thank you again. Again, I don't know, Mother Valerie, will you be able to join me in the morning for Sabbath to go into the our Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament words?
No, ma'am.
All right, then it'll be me again. So come join me in the morning. I will be coming from another state. Y'all know your girl likes to travel, so I will be coming out of Indiana on tomorrow. So come join me for my Indiana listeners. It will be 8 o'clock your time. Excuse me, it will be 6 o'clock your time, I believe, and 7 o'clock my time, because we are an hour after you. So 8 and 7, I believe, is the way it'll be. So it'll be 8 o'clock their time, 7 o'clock our time. But I will be blogging 7 a.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow morning from Indiana. So thank you so much. Again, it will be a great word. I am excited. I love the word of God, and I can't help but get giddy for it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Come join me tomorrow for Sabbath, and we will be going with the word of God. And I will come back to you again on next Monday after Sabbath. So thank you so much. Again, 213-943-3597. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward. Thank you so much, Mother Valerie. Take us to the Word of God.
Good morning, people of God. Temperature for the day is 41. It's going to get up to 70. With this like springtime. And I want to say, Evangelist Teresa, you are healed. So walk in your healing. And I thank and praise God for you. Coming out of Deuteronomy 19. When the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God has given you, and you depossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in times past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree from the handle, strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live. Lest the avenger of blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer, overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death.
since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now, if the Lord your God enlarge your territory as before to your fathers and give you the land which you promised to give your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself. Besides these, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, when the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there, deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. You should not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. And if a false witness rise against any man, testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judge who serve in those days. And the judge shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter, they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot. This is the Old Testament Friday that we're reading. You know, that's what happens. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But in the New Testament, God gives mercy. He gives mercy. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. That's logical and it's true. And that's the title for today. Wow. Chapter 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies, see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it should be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach, speak to the people, and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God is fighting for you. Almighty God, the God of the heaven, the God of the earth, Abba, Father. He's fighting for you. Don't be afraid. He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you, he's much more greater than they are. Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go, return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten up it? Let him go, return to the house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman, has not married her? Let him go, return to his house, lest he die in the battle. Another man marries her. The officers shall speak farther to the people and say, what man is there who's fearful, faint-hearted? Let him go, return to his house, lest the heart of his brother faint like his heart. And it shall be when the officers have finished speaking to the people that they may make captains of the armies to lead the people, captains of the armies to lead the people. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. Shall be that if they accept your offer of peace open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. And if the city will not make peace with you, the war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword, but the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that's in the city, all is spoil, you shall plunder for yourselves. And you shall eat the enemy's plunder, which the Lord your God gives you. Thus you shall do to all the cities, which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. But if the city of these people, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, Perizzites, Hittites, Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. These they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time while making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wheeling an ox against it. If you can eat of them, do not cut them down to use in a siege, for the tree of the field is man's food. Only the trees which you know are not trees for food, you may destroy and cut down to build siege works against the city that makes war with you until it is subdued. Deuteronomy 27, life lesson. Let him go, return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man marries her. Lord did not promise his people that they would suffer no casualties when they followed him into battle, only that they would surely triumph. Isn't that something? Life lesson, Deuteronomy 20:1. When you go out to battle against your enemies, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. The numbers, strength, and hostility of our enemies matter little when the Lord is with you. If God is with you, it don't matter who's against you. As he delivered Israel from Egypt, so he can deliver us from our enemies. Deuteronomy 19:5. He shall flee to one of these cities and live. Accidents and tragedies occur in a fallen world, and God rarely tells. He does, however, instruct us how to respond, and he assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. You know, they always say, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? People always ask you that question, and I ask them to take it to the Lord. Don't nobody know why bad things happen to good people, but it just says accidents and tragedies occur in a fallen, it's because the world is a fallen world. And God rarely tells us why. He does, however, instructs us how to respond, and he assumes full responsibility for our needs when we obey him. I read it twice, so that's the reason. Deuteronomy 20:1. How can you get the most out of your work? Let me offer three suggestions. View yourself as a servant. Jesus came to the earth not to serve, be served, but to serve. And he instructs us to adopt the same attitude. Matthew 20:25-28, Paul wrote, bond servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh. Not with eye service as man pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. If Paul told slaves to do their work heartily and they received no paycheck, then what about the rest of us who do get paid? Well, don't pay me nearly enough, you say. Okay, you might not get paid adequately, but taking longer lunch hours, clocking out earlier, coming in late is not the way to even things out. If you are paid for 8 hours, you need to give 8 full hours. Why? Because you are a servant, and good servants do good work. Besides, the best pathway to promotion is servanthood. Whoever wants to be a leader must adopt the attitude of a servant. A prideful employee seldom seen as a promotion possibility. It is the humble worker who diligently labors with a godly attitude that management sees as leadership material. Never doubt the impact of your attitude on everyone around you, boss included. But who's your real employer? That leads us to our second suggestion. Realize that you work for the Lord himself. Your employer exercises supervisory authority over you, but Jesus Christ is your Lord. You work for him. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to man. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is the supervisor of your place of work, and he not only watches you from afar, he's right there with you. You and I need to give a full day's labor, regardless of whether we think management is fair, because Jesus is ultimately the employer, and he's always on your side. You and I should do our very best, because the Holy Spirit is present, equipping and energizing us. We make a terrible mistake by submitting life. We may think that Monday through Friday we go to work, Saturday we play, and Sunday we worship. God has not designed life that way. If Jesus Christ is our Savior, we can exclude him from any part of life. It isn't right to teach a Sunday school class with everything we have for mentoring to work the rest of the week. We won't be tempted to do our work merely to be seen by men if we remind ourselves that Jesus is our real boss. Do I mean that your Monday job is also the Lord's work? Yes. Ministry is not just what we do at church. You worship God every day of the week, Sunday through Sunday. On Sunday, you worship him on church. On Monday, you worship him through work. Friday, you worship him by doing a good job at work. Your exalted status as a child of God dignifies your work. That's why your office, a place of employment, should never be the same, because you work there. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a good testimony in the marketplace for him? Are you one of your company's most faithful employees because you serve him? Does your attitude reflect the joy you have in seeing his name on the door as the real CEO? Realize your pay comes both now and hereafter. Paul wrote, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of inheritance. Of course, you must get paid now, take care of your household expenses. But if you have done your very best and given all you have, you will never really get paid all you're worth. The wonderful thing to remember is this. You may get insufficient wages down here, but you get rewarded beyond all reason up there. God with much more than equalize everything in the judgment. The boss who has watched you all these years will reward you justly. Do you see yourself as a servant? Do you consider him your real boss and work as unto the Lord, no matter how menial or boring your job might seem? Have you realized that you have a tremendous reward coming later for the faithful labor performed now? If so, you're getting the most out of your work. Those are life principles. Very good. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. God is a good God all the time. This is the day.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Spring is here. It's going to be 70 today. 70.
Woo-hoo. Amen. You know, I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 21, Mother Valerie, if you would like to read that, but I can read it if you would like.
If anyone is found clean, lying in the field in the land which the Lord your God
no,
has given you to possess.
I'm sorry, Mother. Yeah, Mother, if you could read Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. To 23, the last section of your reading,
21.
And
okay.
Yes, and the life lesson one more time for Deuteronomy 21:23. So start at Deuteronomy chapter verse 20, verse 22, chapter 21.
And they
verse
shall
22.
Say, and they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones, so that you shall put away the evil from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. But you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is a curse of God, my Lord and my God. Isn't that amazing?
And that's
Deuteronomy,
the life lesson, one more time.
His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, for he who is hanged is the curse of God. When Jesus hung on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, he became a curse for us. In fulfillment of this verse, Galatians 3:13, how amazing that God can use even his curses for our blessing. That's beautiful.
That is powerful. That is powerful, because as we go back into our word again, and we will get to it one more time in our scripture, a person shall be put to death for his own sin. Again, as the word, his mother just read it, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. The one that was hung on the tree was for us, and it was our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want, even though it's Old Testament Friday, we got to understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament are one. What you find in the Old Testament is what is going on in the New Testament. God gave us information so that we would know. What is it, that basic instruction before leaving earth? God has given it to us in this word so that we understand. It's a whole lot more than we know. We can't take one scripture and say, oh, this is all. It's so much more. And as we go into chapter 22, it says, you shall not see your brother's ox or sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. You shall do the same with his donkey, and so shall you do with his garment. With any lost thing of your brother which he has lost and you have found, you shall do likewise. You must not hide it, hide yourself. And I'm going to tell you, Mother Valerie, my grandson, I love this baby, but he loses coat like it's nobody's business. Every once, at least once a week, his mother has got to go to the school, look in the lost and found, to look for his coat. But understand, if anybody else picks up his coat, they need to understand his name is in it. His name is in his coat. So if you find his coat, what should you do? And you know who he is, why would you not take him his coat? So we have to understand, if you find something that is lost and it's not yours and it's got my name in it, it's got my grandchild's name in it, it's got Mother Valerie's name in it, then it's supposed to go to who? Mother Valerie, or myself, or my grandchild, if our name is in it. If you know that you got somebody else's stuff, you need to give it back. And it says, you shall not see your brother's donkey or his aunt fall down along the road and hide yourself from them. You shall surely help him lift them up again. And I got to give a shout out to Devin. This young man, I did not know him from anybody. I had a blowout on my car on the interstate, and I didn't know it until I saw the light come on my car for my tire. And I got off the interstate. I had just enough to get to this corner, get off the street. And so I was just going to leave my car because I had to go to a very important meeting. And my son was on his way back to pick me up. I had to go to a training. And I was thinking, okay, God, what am I going to do? So I had prayed. I said, Lord, you show me what to do because I couldn't even find the tire. I had no idea the tire was underneath the car, which meant that I would have had to get on the ground, come underneath the car to get the tire out. And needless to say, I was on my way to a meeting. He was on his way to a meeting. So we were not dressed to be crawling underneath the car to get the tire. And this young man, I went to his business, and I said, sir, I need to leave my car here. I have a flat tire, and I have to go to a meeting, and I won't be able to change it. He said, oh, hold on a minute, ma'am. And he comes out, and he's in his work clothes. You know, he wipes off his hands, and he comes out, and he thinks, oh, this is one. And he takes the jack, and he turns to twist this little screw on the car, and then the tire comes down out from underneath the car down to the ground so you can just pull it out. And then he pulls out the tire. By that time, my son comes, and they take off the old tire, put on the new tire. And all I could do was just want to cry because of his kindness. He didn't have to be nice to me. He didn't know me. And, you know, God put it in my heart to do something for him and take it to him the next day as just a thank you. Because this man got all dirty on the ground, taking out this tire, put it on my car. Did he have to? No, he didn't, but he did. And that's what this word is about, is helpful to others. So shout out to Devin. Great young man. Awesome young man of God. And all I can say is thank you. Because he helped a widow. And he does not know he will get blessing from blessing for his kindness. And it says this, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man. Nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. And I know that this scripture right here, is where a lot of folks get their information why certain women in certain churches do not wear pants. They will not put on a pair of pants for anything because this word says that if they do, they are an abomination. But if you stop and think about it, in the Middle East and in some places in Africa, men wear tunics that come down to their knees, which look like a dress. And then they have their pants underneath. So we don't know. That is a word, but I believe that a woman should not try to be a man. We are women. We are not men. And we can't put a man on ourselves and say, well, I'm the father and the mother. No, you're not. I am a widow. I am not my son's or my daughters, or my grandchildren, father or grandfather. I am just who I am, mother and grandma. No, I cannot say that I am a man. I'm not, and I don't want to be. I am who God made me to be. And we have to remember that. But that is a word. It is in here. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man. Nor shall a man put on woman's garment, for all who do so are abomination to the Lord your God. Something to think about. If a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, then you shall make a prayer pit for your roof, that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. you shall not show. So your vineyard with different kinds of seeds, lest they yield of the seed which you have sown, and the fruit of your vineyard is the fire. And we all know with genetic GMOs and all this stuff, genetic modified food, it is against God. We're not to be modifying what God created. We are to keep it the way it was. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. You shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. And again, we know that many of these things are not done anymore. But we know that at that time, it was. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and detests her and charges her with shameful conduct and brings a bad name on her and says, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found she was not a virgin. Now understand, in this age and time, there are so many young women, I'm sorry to say, that are not virgins when they marry, and their husband is not their one and only. You know, I'm just saying that's just the reality of it. They may have children, and they may have children by different fathers. That's the reality of this day. But in that day, you had to be a virgin when you got married. And it says this, then the father and mother of the young woman shall take and bring out the evidence. I'm just going to call it like it is, that bloody sheep. They keep it to show that my child was pure of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he has charged her with shameful conduct, saying, I found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city shall take that man and punish him. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, and evidence of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with the stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house. And I just read an article that they are trying to start this same stuff in the Middle East. I believe it was Iran. They're trying to bring back this law where young women will be stoned. We've got to understand evil is in its wake. It is doing all kind of stuff. The enemy is just vindictive and evil. But that's what they want to do again. Stone young women. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and someone can lie on you and get someone stoned to death. Jealousy and envy can cause some young woman to be stoned to death. We got to pray. And it says, and if a man is found lying, here it is, with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil from Israel. And we know, that's another one of my little highlightables, because it also goes with the woman caught in the act of adultery, right? And Jesus said, who among you has not sinned, throw the first stone. Because this woman, now she's brought to be stoned to death. Where is the man? Because the word, if you go by the law of the statutes of God, it says they both, right, mother? They say if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you shall put away the evil. So they, if they was caught in the act of adultery, they both should have been put to death. So it shouldn't have been just the woman. It should have been the woman and the man. And it says, and if a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to her husband and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, in other words, rapes her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. But if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving a death. But just as when a man rises against his neighbor and kills him, even so is the man. For he found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he seizes her and lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who lay with her shall give to the young woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her. He shall not be permitted to divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor uncover his father's bed. And we know that Reuben did that, slept with one of his brother's mother, and went into the bed of his father. We got to be careful. We got to know, folks, better understand the word of God. It is for a purpose and a reason. I just saw another article, Mother Valerie, where it talks about incest. You know, all these folks are doing DNA. And in the DNA, they starting to find out that their cousin is their brother and that their sister is their auntie. Come on now. They finding out all kind of stuff in DNA testing, and a lot of it is ancestral. So we better understand that all the chickens are coming to roost, and what's been done in the dark is starting to come to the light. And it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 23, he who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Something to think about. One of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation, not of his descendants, shall enter the assembly of the Lord. And that is so many children and some folks today whose parents were not married. And these children back in that day, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Because back then, if you were illegitimate, you couldn't come into the assembly of God. You couldn't come into the assembly of the Lord. And it says that Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the tenth generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever. But understand, God, whew, David was a descendant of a Moabite. But Ruth said, I will, your God will be my God. So she was grafted in. As a Gentile, she was grafted in. And she became grandmother of David. Come on now. And it says, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Petor of Mesopotamia to curse you. There's that donkey talking man. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because the Lord your God loves you, you shall not seek their peace, nor their prosperity all but your days forever. God is great because he forgives. You shall not abhor an Edomite, for he is your brother. You shall not abhor an Egyptian, because you were an alien. Now we understand the definition of alien, which means you were a slave. You were a different person in his land. The children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of the Lord. when that army goes out against your enemy, then keep yourself from every wicked thing. If there is any man among you who becomes unclean by some occurrence in the night, then he shall go outside the camp. He shall not come inside the camp, but it shall be when evening comes that he shall wash with water, and then the sun sets, he may come into the camp. Also, you shall have a place outside the camp where you may go out, and you shall have an implement among your equipment. And when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and cover your refuge. Come on now. I told you where to go to have your situation taken care of. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you. Therefore, your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. There it is. He may dwell with you in your midst in the place which he chooses within one of your gates where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. If you want to talk about being a Christian nation, there should not have been an escape slave law, because it said they should, if they escape, you should leave them alone. There shall be no ritual harlot of the daughters of Israel or perverted ones of the sons of Israel. Come on now. You shall not bring the wages of a harlot or the price of a dog to the house of the Lord your God. But any vow offered for both of these are an abomination to the Lord your God. Ill-gotten gains, God said, I don't want them. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out of interest. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform for your voluntary vows, for you voluntary vows to the Lord your God, what you have promised with your mouth. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the head with your hand, but you shall not use a stick on your neighbor's standing grain. Chapter 24. When a man takes a wife, come on now, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanliness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, put it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies and took her as his wife, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. But that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. When a man is taking a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. No man shall take a lower or the upper millstone in pledge, for he takes one's living in pledge. If a man is found kidnapping any of his brethren of the children of Israel and mistreats him or sells him, then that kidnapper shall die, and you shall put away the evil from among you. In that case, all the sons of Jacob should have died when they sold Joseph. Come on now. Take heed in an outbreak of leprosy that you carefully observe and do according all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, just as I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way when you came out of Egypt. When you lend your brother anything, you shall not go into his house to get his pledge, You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you lend shall bring the pledge out to you. And if the man is poor, you shall not keep his pledge. Overnight you shall, in any case, return the pledge to him again. When the sun goes down, that he may sleep in his own garment and bless you, and it shall be righteousness to you before the Lord your God. You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates. God is speaking to us today. You got folks mistreating and hating on aliens but want to claim how much they love God. God is giving us an edit in his word. Each day you shall give him his wages and not let the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord and it be sin to you. We better watch out. Father shall not be put to death. This is our title for this morning. It's coming out of this verse. Father shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. You shall not pervert justice due to the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. But you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a shaft in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. God has given us an edit. God has told us what he wants us to do, how he wants us to act, how he wants us to treat each other, that we need to do as thus says the Lord. And when we go to the last life lesson this morning, Deuteronomy 23:12-13, you shall have a place outside the camp. When you sit down outside, cover your refuge. Long before humankind knew anything about the connection between personal hygiene and good health, God gave his people commands to keep them physically healthy. Obedience always brings blessings. Come on now. Chapter 24:5. When a man is taking a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall bring happiness to his wife. God is most concerned about our holiness, but he is not unconcerned about our happiness, as this verse demonstrates. Deuteronomy 24:16, our title. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. Each of us is responsible to God for our own lives. We do not incur the righteousness of our ancestors, nor must we pay for the sins of our forebears. God judges each person individually. We all must stand before God one day. Deuteronomy 24:22. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. God often reminds Israel that they have been slaves in Egypt. Why? To foster compassion in them for the downtrodden. Likewise, he reminds us that we once were estranged from him. We are to be compassionate people. And that is our word this morning. We are to be compassionate people. We are to treat others as we want to be treated. Because that is what God has given us an edit to do. And before we go this morning, I know we'll be a little bit over 8, but I want to make sure I read today's prayer. And it's this: tempted. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. And we talked about this yesterday. We are not tempted by God. We have to make sure we do what God says to do. And the one thing it says, when you are tempted, what can help you resist what can help you resist is the love of God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Speak and watch God work. But we do have a word from Sister Carolyn before we go this morning that I will share with you on this Good Friday. And I just want you to remember. And it says today, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Have a faith-filled Friday. God loves you, family. Mother Valerie and I love you. And there is nothing you can do about it but love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Thanking God for this great word, Mother. I will see you on Sunday, God willing. And we will be back together with all of you on Monday. But please join me tomorrow for Sabbath Saturday, where I will be going forth in the New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs. And another church announcement, there will not be a Resurrection Sunday show because I will be in church at sunrise service. So I will not be able to vlog on that day. But never know what God's plans may be. Maybe in the afternoon I may do a live. We don't know what God does. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I pray you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Don't forget that this weekend is not about Easter bunnies and candy. Not about Easter baskets. And what is it, they have the little eggs. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus. Don't let the enemy take you off your square. It is about the resurrection. It is about the truth and the light. It is about Jesus. Let us never forget. As we say at Christmas time, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's the same for this weekend. Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all about the Savior. And let us never forget. Mother Valerie, what is it?
It's the wrap. It's the wrap.
God bless you all. Thank you, Mother Rita. It's a wrap.